Okay, good morning. Beginning on page Resh Mem Dalet at the bottom. After the Rebbe spoke about the understanding of what Eishes Chayil is all about, and the Rebbe talks about that as good as it is, we analyze Knesset Yisrael. And even if you don't understand how all this works and all these things, but nonetheless, you can achieve these kinds of levels. And then he talks about what problems happen if you do any averos. That's how he ended at the end. If a person doesn't do the will of Hashem, and his thoughts and ideas and desires aren't aligned with Hashem, then not only does he put a blemish into his own neshama, but he damages the neshama of the Jewish people of Knesset Yisrael above, and distancing them from Hashem, and that's the idea of Golus, this separation of the Shechina of Knesset Yisrael from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from this supernal unity above. This is the concept of Golus. So he's going to explain what this means. So at the bottom of Resh Mem Dalet, Mi'at Tovim Ma'at, and I can understand a little bit, Kishetira Basfarma Kadosh, when you read in the holy books, Shasitra Achara Pogas Bibichinas Malchus Aidei Chatoi Yisrael. That's what it means in the holy books when it talks about the Sitra Achar, the other side, the sides of negativity. That the sides of negativity are able to wound, to damage the attribute of royalty through the sins of the Jewish people. What does that mean? Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Amar Lashem. Because Moshe said to Hashem in Parshas Vayishlach, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzo yevecha. Get up, Hashem, and disperse your enemies. V'yanusu misanecha mipanecha. And those who hate you should be chased away from before you. So what does Rashi say on this? Very famous Rashi. Parsh Rashi. Shekol hasoinei es Yisrael. Anyone who hates a Jew, really soinei es misha omar v'hayolam, really hates the one who said and brought the world into being, meaning hates Hashem. Sinas Yisrael, the hatred of a Jew, v'sinas hakivyachol, and the hatred of the one as it were, meaning Hashem. Achasi, it's synonymous. It's the same thing. Right? That's what the Rashi is teaching us. If someone hates a Jew, it's really he hates Hashem. What does that mean? That's Rashi. So he explains. V'chol ha'yisurim v'tzaras Yisrael, all the suffering and the problems that happen to the Jewish people, when people do things to hurt the Jewish people, what is it really? Kulam lahastir es oro chas v'shalom heim. Really their activities are, God forbid, attempting to cover up Hashem's light. V'chol isha oved yosir legalas es or Hashem, and the one who works hard to reveal the light of Hashem, what happens to him? Yosir murdof umaunahu, is more persecuted and more oppressed, because that's the one who works to reveal Hashem, wants to reveal the light, so the one who hates Hashem will hate the person who's revealing the light and will therefore persecute him. Will asid in the future, shetavar asitra achara, when the sitra achar will pass from this world, us, as the words of the prophet Isaiah says, lo yareu v'lo yashchisu b'chol har kachi, they will not do evil and they will not destroy in all of my holy mountain. Ki mal haaretz dea, because the world will be filled with knowledge of Hashem, as Hashem, kamayim layom achasim, like the water covers the oceans. Ein hester vein ra, there'll be no covering, there'll be no evil. So, what is he saying so far? He's saying that when we do averos, we enable the sitra achar to blemish this concept of the malchus Hashem. And that's really the ultimate enemy of Hashem, is the Sitra Achar. The ultimate enemy is the Sitra Achar, although it manifests itself in many places. It manifests itself in anti-Semites who hate Jews, but really they don't really hate Jews. It's they really hate God, but the Jews are the messengers of morality and conscience to the world. So if you hate God, you have to hate the messenger, and the Jewish people are that messenger. All the problems, all the sufferings we have is because people are trying to cover up that light that's supposed to radiate from within us. And that's what they're trying to stop, that beautiful radiance of holiness. And the Jews who are trying to work so hard to serve Hashem, we're trying to reveal all that light. And therefore, we're the ones who are the object of their scorn and their scrutiny and the suffering that comes to us from them. Right? So that's now the truth of the matter is, as we'll see, is now what gives this other side all this strength to be able to do all these terrible things? It's none other than ourselves. It's none other than ourselves. Because if we really were doing everything the way we should be doing, then the Sitra Achra wouldn't have this strength. There wouldn't be this distancing. In other words, as long as we're really connected to Hashem in the deepest way, nothing can ever happen to us. If Knesset Yisrael is really unified with Hashem, there's no way we could get hurt. But when we do Averos and we distance ourselves from Hashem, then as that distance becomes greater, that connection is weaker, that protection is weaker, and then we become open to these attacks, so to speak, that are really meant to be attacking against Hashem. So it's really the same thing, because every Aver we do is an attack against Hashem. When we're serving Hashem, this is what's bringing out the light. And when we don't serve Hashem, that's clouding up the light, and that enables others to cloud up the light. So there's got to be a spiritual clouding up of the light before there's a physical clouding up of the light that attempts to destroy us in this way. Yeah?
So is he saying we bring anti-Semitism on ourselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a famous medrash. Absolutely. The source of anti-Semitism is Jews who don't serve Hashem. That's the Medrash in Parsha Shmos. First time. It says the Egyptians, it says when the Jews stopped circumcising themselves in Egypt, they made a collective decision to stop circumcising themselves in Egypt. At that moment, the Medrash says, Miyad, immediately, the Egyptians turned their hearts against the Jews and started to hate the Jews. It's a fairish Medrash. So, That's why it's always been. That's why it's always been. That there would never be any anti-Semitism or any successful anti-Semitism if the Jewish people were serving Hashem properly. It just couldn't exist. Couldn't exist. Sorry? Same thing with the Chayin. But this Medrash is Mamish. Yeah, it's also with the Chayin. We'd have the Chayin. But this Medrash is Mamish explicit. Explicitly says you have the anti-Semitism because they stopped serving Hashem, and that only makes sense. Only makes sense, and that's everything Hashem promises in the Shema. You listen to what I say, everything's going to be fine. You don't listen, it's not going to be fine. So that's the cure to anti-Semitism. Be good Jews, they won't have any anti-Semitism. That's the real cure. The cure for anti-Semitism is educating Jews to serve Hashem properly, to stop speaking Lashon Hara. That would be the cure to anti-Semitism. It's never going to happen through efforts of organizations who are going to inform the world how evil anti-Semitism is. That's a narishkeit. It's treating the symptoms but not treating the cause. And it'll never work. Okay? Yeah?
If you have a Jew who was born, like, let's say, in Norwichville, he's still a Jew, but how can you be bringing any negativity if he never was educated or anything like that? So is there a point where there's a cutoff line?
Okay, if a person doesn't know, he can't, you know, we can't be blamed, so to speak. But on the other hand, if he's not blamed, but it could be the rest of the Jews are blamed, because why haven't we saved them? And we know there are Jews like this, so why haven't we been able to make a difference to the world to have that Jew sense he should be coming back? So although he per se isn't bringing the negativity, but the reality that there are such Jews and we haven't been able to change that reality doesn't bode well for us. you know, where do you get that all of a sudden a non-Jew wants to be a Jew? Where does that come from? It comes because there's spiritual energy radiating from the Knesset Yisrael, and that non-Jew somehow is picking up some of this energy. Certainly a Jew should pick up that energy. Why aren't we picking up that energy? Right? So again, yeah, Hashem will deal with it all, and we don't have to worry so much about that. But again, the fact that there are Jews who are far away from Hashem and we're not doing anything about it doesn't bode well for us. Doesn't bode well for us. Okay, so let's move on and see how he develops this idea. Alpi Pashut, so simply, how do we understand this? Adav Rukaf, this is the concept. Ritzon Hashem Hu, what is the will of Hashem? Shinavdehu Babachira Shinivchar Mirtzonenu. Hashem wants us to serve him with our free will choice that we should choose willingly. What? As hatov lo asara. We should choose the good and not the evil. Now, v'im hoya gam ba'olam hazeh hisgalus elokim ba'osa mido kivolamos atzilus bria yitzir. Now, if there was in this lowest world of Atzia the amount of revelation of Hashem equal to the amount that's revealed in the higher worlds of Atzilus Bria Yetzirah, which is an unbelievable reality of Hashem. If that would be the case down here in this world, Lahoya Shum Chait Unamirichus Hefach Meretzon Hashem, Efshar. It wouldn't be at all the possibility for a person to sin or to be in a lowly state to want to do the opposite of the will of Hashem. Right? If Hashem's reality was so strong, with such a revelation of Hashem, we would be compelled to serve Hashem. And that wouldn't work, because then there would be no free choice. So what happened? Therefore Hashem created this world with such a constraint and a hiddenness to enable the possibility for evil to be done, God forbid. But still in all, even though there are tempting possibilities, when we call Makam L'yas Isha Sarah, but Hashem wants that the Jew should not do evil, Eliyiv Chabatova should choose the good. But more than this now. So this is simple Lutzaro. Right? V'lo od, but not only this, Elisha Osa Hashem Asayet Sahara Shiafat L'ra. And also, not only is Hashem's reality hidden, but Hashem made a Yetzahara that will seduce us to do evil. And to try to get us convinced that which we see is the will of Hashem really isn't the will of Hashem. Ve'kavona so, and the whole intention of the Yetzirah is latov, for the good. Why? Shlo yishma lo ha'adam, that the person should not listen to him. What's he saying? So the Zohar gives a mashal analogy to a king who wants to test out his son, the prince, to see what kind of son does he have. Does he have a son who has the right moral principles that he'll be worthy to lead the kingdom or not? So what does he do? He pays a prostitute to try to seduce the son. And he says, try your hardest to seduce him. If you don't try your hardest, I'll never know how strong he is morally principled. So you give it everything you got. So now, if the prince ignores the efforts of seduction, the king's going to be very happy. He'll reward the prostitute for her efforts that she makes. Prince. Right? And the prince obviously will be rewarded without question. And if the prince fails, then at least the king has learned what areas the prince is weak and needs to get work on. But obviously the prince, the prostitute is working for the king. And therefore, the king wants her to make, he doesn't want her to do a half effort, and then he'll never really know how tested and how strong his son is. He wants her to give it the full amount of effort. And if he sees that the son can resist, then he's extremely happy with what has gone on. So that's the same thing with the Yetzirah. Hashem wants the Yetzirah to give it everything he's got, and then some. And if the Jew resists that, then the Jew has totally exercised his free will choice, and all the good decisions he makes are inherently really good choices. And this is what makes Hashem very happy. So this is the intention. So at this point, the Yetzirah purely has one thing in mind and only one thing in mind: to give Hashem pleasure. And how does he get pleasure? By testing the prince as much as possible, and then the prince will be able to succeed, and then the Yetzirah can say, see, I did my job, and he still was able to be good. That was the original Yetzirah. Din Kain, if so, what this really means is that Gam Hara, even the evil, Shia Hester, which is this hiddenness, the Gama Yetzahara, and even the Yetzahara itself, when the Medrash says, when Hashem analyzed the world at the end of creation and says he saw it was Tov Ma'od, it was very good. So the Medrash gives a number of examples of what good would mean and what very good means. It's two aspects, good and very. So good means he created the Yetzer Tov. Very good is he created the Yetzahara. Because only the Yetzahara can create a very good reality. A very good reality is from the Yetzahara. Because when he tests you so hard, so even the Yetzahara only wants good. But the only way he can get to the good is if he makes certain things that are bad look good. He hides the good, creates false illusions of bad things being good, tests the Jew. And when the Jew withstands it, then the Yetzer turns again and says, see, I did my job. And you should be awfully happy. That it was a unique event that happened when Yaakov Avinu was wrestling with the Malach before he met Esav. And the Malach wanted to go in the morning. And Yaakov wouldn't let it go. And the reason why the Malach wanted to go is he wanted to sing Tashem. So he wanted to sing Tashem. So what was he busy picking a fight with Yaakov the night before he had to sing Tashem? Right? Malach only sings Tashem once in its existence. So if you have one chance to sing Tashem, and that's it. Believe me, if anybody had a chance to perform in Carnegie Hall for one time in his life, he wouldn't be picking a brawl on a side street in New York City, somewhere in the slums. He'd sleep in the opera theater to make sure he wouldn't miss it. He'd be in the lobby to whatever. He'd be preparing himself. What's he picking a fight for? The answer is because that is exactly what the Malach was, how he was preparing himself. What do you mean? You're going to sing to Hashem if you've achieved your purpose. That's what singing to Hashem means, achieving your purpose. Since when does the Malach achieve its purpose if it does nothing? So this Malach was the Yetzirah. Yetzirah had to sing to Hashem also. So he had to sing to Hashem also. He had to have what to sing about. So therefore, he fights with Yaakov. He tests Yaakov in every way possible, trying to seduce Yaakov to sin. And at the end of the night, he couldn't. So the Yetzirah realized, my mission was very successful. My mission was very successful. Yaakov resisted all my temptations. So now it's time to sing to Hashem. I've done exactly what Hashem wanted to do, and that's what I was here for. That's what I was here for. Okay, so that was a unique time in history. And that's the general understanding of what the Yetzirah is all about. He intends for God's best interest. That's what he's saying. So therefore, read on. Vim Kenev, so Gam Hara, so even this evil, Shiha Hester, which is this covering, Vigama Yetzer, even the Yetzirah, Verei Shisam, in the beginning of their creation, Tov Hayah, they're good. Rak Levusham Hayara, only the garments they put on look evil. But Velo Rabba Etzim, but they're not essentially bad. The Yetzahara is really Tov Ma'od, it's really a very good guy. This is contrary totally to the Christian belief that evil has an independent existence, that God has nothing to do with it. No, Judaism believes that the Yetzirah is on God's payroll and does what God wants it to do, essentially. That's what he's saying. So it's not evil be'etzem. Ela mustorim hayu belavush shoyanir l'ra. But the answer is hidden in a garment that looks to be bad. That was initial cut of the Yetzirah as it came into the world. However, the Yetzirah has evolved into something much worse. Aval misivas chedar marishon vechatoi kol ishehem be'emes roim hefech meritzoin Hashem. But because of the reason of man's first sin and subsequent sins of all people, which what we did was truly evil, which is the opposite of will Hashem. Umisibus od acheres amurim meharizal. And for other reasons that the Rizal talks about that we're not going to get into now, but for a number of reasons, the Yetzirah has evolved into something more. Nasi sa sitra achra be'emes ra. The sitra achra, the other side, the Yetzirah has truly evolved into something that is truly evil, which makes the sitra achra much more dangerous than it originally was. Man gave more strength to the realm of evil. That the realm of evil now isn't so much only, oh, I really only want to do what God wants. And he told me, Nebuch, I got the toughest job to do. I got the most thankless job to do. I got to seduce Jews. Now the HR has devolved into saying, you know what? Oh, I love trying to seduce Jews. Right? So you try even harder, don't you? In other words, you know, let's take the prostitute example. King calls the prostitute, I want you to seduce my son. She says, what are you talking about? I love the king. I love the realm. I'm so loyal to the king. I'm so loyal to the realm. Right? I don't want to do this. I don't want to make the king's son do something bad. King says, no, please, please, you're doing me a favor. Please do me a favor. Test them out. It's important that you test them out. I know you really don't want to do it, but please do it. So while the HR does it, he's doing it totally, totally, totally. When she's doing this, she's doing it totally to do the will of the king. Okay, but let's say that this prostitute, you know, develops a hatred for the prince and wants to see the prince get messed up. So you know what? She'll give it a little extra oomph. Right? She'll give it a little, you know, because she won't be satisfied that he hasn't given in. She's going to say, he still hasn't given in? I'm going to even try harder. Still hasn't given in? I'm not going to stop till I see he gives in. If you're doing it for the king, you're going to eventually stop. You're going to eventually stop because the whole point was to test. He looks loyal. That's fine. I tried very hard. And you really do try very hard. But that's it. It's enough. Because at the end of the day, I want him to pass. But what if at the end of the day she wants him to fail? So after three or four tries, she's not going to stop. She's going to just keep going. And we'll never stop. So it's the same thing with the Yetzer. After, and we can't get into all the reasons the Rebbe's saying. But what's happened to this Yetzer is it says, you know, I ain't ever going to stop. I'm never going to be satisfied with testing until I see that he ultimately fails. This is a qualitative change in the Yetzirah. Okay, there's still more to say. Yeah?
Does that mean that today we are faced with a greater challenge than anybody in the history of Jewish people has faced? In other words, the original Yetzirah, we could have probably handled it one way or another, but today it's really...
Yes! Yes, that's the problem. That's what we did in Lutzado long ago. The Yetzirah initially was external to the Jew and easier to handle. And now that it's internalized with the Jew, it's a lot harder to handle. It's a lot harder to handle the Yetzirah.
But seeing that it still comes from Hashem originally, why should it take this sort of turn to make it...
That's the way Hashem created it.
So then there is a purpose for that as well. Then.
It is. It is. It is. But it's that part. God created an aspect that the Yetzirah will do more than what God wanted it to do.
It has free will?
No. not exactly free will. It's the way it's been, in a sense, it's been programmed. It's a malach, you can't have free will. But part of the program is that if first man, you know, passes the test, that's it. But if he fails, you will have added energy and an added desire to want him to see him to fail. That's why God programmed it. That's why he programmed it. Yeah?
Is it because the HRL sees that you is not as connected to God as before?
Yeah. Doing it right, because it's seeing the non-loyalty of the prince.
Can I make a comment on that? But don't we say that the bigger you are, the stronger your HRL is? The Rosh Hashiva has a huge HRL, doesn't it?
It's a Yetzirah only to give you the free will choice. Only to give you the free will choice. It's a different aspect. It's a different aspect. In other words, the Yetzirah has to make the playing field equal. He has to make it tempting. So if the guy's such a big tzaddik, he has to tempt him more. That's all. But here we're saying, you know, let's say the prince fails. Prince fails. So now what does the prostitute see? See, you're not so loyal to the king, are you? So you're not so loyal to the king, so now I'm going to really go after you. I'm really going to go after you, because you're really not so loyal. She's more loyal than he is. So if you're already unworthy, then let's bury you. Because, you know, you should never be the king. I don't want you ever to be the king. And for that matter, more than that, you're really telling me that the king isn't that great either. In other words, I have no loyalty to the realm anymore. I have no loyalty to the realm. Because the heir to the throne is not worthy. So why should I have any loyalty to the realm? So I have no loyalty to the realm, so the heck with the realm. Let me bury you. Let me bury you. Right, that's the way it's working. So let's so he reads on. And he's gonna resolve a very interesting contradiction. There are different midrashim that seem to conflict with each other. There's different chazal. One chazal says that Hashem will reward the Yetzirah at the end of the day for all its efforts. Another chazal says that God will slaughter the Yetzirah for all the evil work that it does. Well, what's going on? That's mamash a contradiction. Is he doing what God wants, or is he not doing what God wants? So he explains like this. He says, "Achalasi, that until we see in the future what's going to happen, this second type of Yetzirah, Shalasi Raha Zeshinis Vasef Bahem, that this evil that's been increased in them, in the people, Uba Yetzirah, and in the Yetzirah, Yavra Hashem Yishkar, Hashem will have it pass away and will slaughter it." Meaning to say, Eschelek HaYetzirah HaZeh, this additional portion of Yetzirah. Turning the page. But Verak HaTov Shebo Yisaleh. But the original good part of the Yetzirah, that will rise to the top. Okay, that was the underlying root good of the Yetzirah. Whereas the Yetzirah now has developed into two aspects. There's the base aspect of the Yetzirah, and there's the additional aspect of the Yetzirah. The base aspect of the Yetzirah was the prophet who just wanted to do the will of the king and would be happy to see the prince pass the test. Then she got upset. He's failing. So now I want to bury him. I want to bury him in failure. So there's an additional aspect. So there's like two aspects of the Yetzirah that we're dealing with. The initial good aspect of the Yetzirah and the subsequent evil aspect of the Yetzirah. Those are the two aspects. So at the end of time, Hashem will deal with the additional part that he'll slaughter, and that part doesn't want to exist, and the original part will get rewarded. Right? These are tough concepts. Okay, it's enough if we've gone this far. Okay, I know what you're thinking. So if it really, really is programmed to do that, how could it really, really be slaughtered? So, okay, it's not really, really slaughtered in the same way we look at slaughtered. The main thing to realize, the Rebbe's trying to bring out, and this is the point we have to focus on, is that we have strengthened the power of the opposite side. And that's what he said in the opening paragraph that we said. When we do averus, that causes that additional part of the sitra achar, that additional part of the evil force in this world, to gain strength and want total obliteration of the good that's in this world. We give that additional part that strength. And that really is what the Golus is all about. All right? And the truth is, that which we say about the Yetzer is true about the nations of the world. The nations of the world. The nations of the world, on the one hand, they got a job to do. Esav has a job to do. His job is to be an anti-Semite. That's his job. It's a bracha that Yitzchak gave him. Keep the Jew on task. Keep him on task. He doesn't do what he's supposed to, you know. Tempt him. I mean, the non-Jewish world, you know, they're certain, you know, they've got a program here. All right? But then they got those, you know, I'll give you an example. Paro. Paro is supposed to have the Jews be servants in his land. It had to be that way. But, you know, he didn't have to do such a good job. That's what the famous Kasha, Ramban, right? How could Hashem punish Paro for doing what he was supposed to do? The answer is he did more than what he had to do. He did much more than he had to do. Okay, to make him uncomfortable, to this and that, but to make a Holocaust? God never told him to make a Holocaust. But on the other hand, Paro felt legitimized to make the Holocaust because the Jews were taka sinning in Mitzrayim. If the Jews wouldn't have given up their covenant with Hashem, so then what would Paro have done? Then Paro would have said, okay, you know, I'm not going to be the nicest to you. I'm not going to encourage your spiritual development. I'll tempt you. I'll have a culture that's trying to get you to sin. I mean, that's what he's supposed to do. And the Jews were supposed to withstand that, right? And not succumb to that. And then, Paro, you'd be rewarded. You'd be rewarded at the end. But Paro took it a step further. And again, it wasn't only his problem. In other words, how could Paro have taken it a step further if God didn't want him to take it a step further? How could Hashem allow him? This is where people make a big mistake in this Ramban. And they say, see, there are wicked people who go beyond what Hashem wants. They try to explain why bad things happen to good people. They say, you know what? Sometimes they do it on their own. What's bad? It's people who are bad. People are the ones who are doing bad. That's not, I can't say that. That's how they learn Ramban, but they don't learn the Ramban deeper the way with Zohar. It's because we sinned. We gave Paro more strength to do that. You see? So Taka, Paro will get punished for doing more than what he's supposed to do. Paro wasn't satisfied with seducing the Jews. He wanted to totally obliterate the Jews. So Paro wasn't satisfied anymore because the Jews weren't worthy. So what happened at the end? What got destroyed?
Paro,
the bad part of Paro got destroyed. But what was at the end? The root of Paro was what?
Nineveh.
He lived. He didn't get killed. His realm was destroyed, but he did tshuva, and he was the king of Nineveh, and the story of Yonah that he ultimately did tshuva. So the bad part of Paro got destroyed, but the good part of Paro got rewarded. That's how you have to look at the world. The nations of the world, Mashiach will come. The really, really wicked part of the world will get obliterated, but the not real wicked part of the world, there'll be some tikkun for them in the world to come. All right, we'll have to continue on.